Today's reading are selected verses from John 4, John chapter 4. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had already gone to the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming back here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." And just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" Or to him, "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" The people left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we now know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I'll add my own word of welcome to those gathered here and those joining us online. I'm Kathy Stone, my pronouns she, her, and I'm one of the pastors here at First Church. Whether you're here with us in person or online, we are glad to be gathered in this time together worshiping God. This summer, we're moving through a sermon series called Telling the Tale, with an invitation for our summer preachers to share their favorite stories from the Bible. Today's story of Jesus and the woman at the well is one that I've returned to again and again in recent years. Did you know that it is the longest conversation Jesus had in the New Testament? Theologian and author Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "Jesus talks longer to the woman at the well than he does to anyone else in all the Gospels, longer than he talks to any of his disciples, longer than he talks to any of his accusers, longer than he talks to any of his own family. She is the first person he reveals himself to in the Gospel of John. She is the first outsider to guess who he is and tell others. She is the first evangelist, John tells us, and her testimony brings many to faith. I just love that. I experience this story as a story of belonging. There's a line that always gets me. She left her water jar and ran to her people saying, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done." She didn't say, "Come and see a man who fixed all my problems." She said, "Come and see someone who saw me, really saw me and stayed." I think part of why that moment speaks to me so deeply is because, like her, I know what it's like to carry a story that doesn't quite seem to fit. Some of you already know I was adopted as a baby from the Methodist Mission Home in San Antonio. Some of my earliest memories include hearing my parents call me their chosen one, no pressure, and their San Antonio Rose. Now, my older brother and my younger sister weren't adopted, and they both have blonde hair and blue eyes, like our dad. They're my family, and my childhood was filled with laughter and love, but also sometimes looking at photos or hearing family stories about how my sister had the stone nose, I felt like I didn't quite match. I didn't look like them. I didn't feel like I completely fit in. And though I was very loved, I sometimes felt like I was searching for where I truly belonged. And that wondering stayed with me into adulthood. And then in my 30s, I went to Discovery Weekend at Austin Seminary, an opportunity to explore the idea of attending seminary. I remember calling my parents at the end of the first day and saying through tears, "I think I found it. I found where I belong. I found where I'm supposed to be." Now, that moment didn't erase the complexity of my story, but it was probably the first time I felt fully seen as someone called, curious, whole, not just accepted, but embraced. And like the woman at the well, I left something behind that day too. Not a water jar, but a deep sense of not enoughness, a sense of being outside looking in. Jesus met her in the place where she felt most unseen, and he does the same with us. He met me not with answers, but with calling, not with judgment, but with belonging. So when I read John 4, I don't just see her story, I see mine. And maybe you do too. Many, including some of you here today, have actually been told in one way or another that you don't belong. You've been told, "You're too different, too complicated, too much, or not enough." And often those messages don't come from strangers, but from the very places meant to be sanctuaries, families, schools, churches. Each June, we observe Pride Month. It commemorates the 1969 Stonewall Uprising in New York City, when LGBTQ people, many of them trans women of color, stood up and said, "We deserve to live with dignity." It was a turning point in the movement for LGBTQ rights. And today, Pride is a time of celebration, of advocacy and education, a time to honor history, affirm identity, and recommit ourselves to justice. But more than that, Pride is a time to say clearly and without hesitation, you belong. If you've ever been told otherwise by a parent, a pastor, a stranger, hear this. You are wonderfully and beautifully made in the image of God. You are enough just as you are. You are loved, not in spite of your identity, but as the person God created you to be. And if you've ever wondered whether there's a place for you in the church, look at Jesus. In his time, there was a woman who knew what it felt like to be pushed aside. She was Samaritan. She was a woman. She carried a story others used to shame her. She came to the well at noon, the hottest part of the day, probably hoping to avoid being seen or judged. But Jesus, he sees her. He knows her. He loves her. Not once does he tell her to change before she belongs. He simply offers her living water and a place at God's table of grace. This is a story about barriers being broken. In Jesus' day, men didn't talk to women like this in public. Jews and Samaritans had centuries of division. And her life, her relationships, made her someone others avoided. But Jesus doesn't avoid her. He starts with a simple request that catches her by surprise. Will you give me a drink? That one question changes everything. He asks for her help, creating dignity in the relationship. He engages her as an equal, not as someone to be avoided. He draws close, meeting her with care and compassion right where she is, a shared presence. Over the course of their conversation, something shifts, and we witness transformation. She moves from isolation to invitation, from outsider to witness. And here's what I love most. Jesus doesn't just invite her into belonging. He builds a new kind of belonging through her. No one is outside of God's love and grace. No one. So let's pause and ask ourselves, who do we intentionally or unintentionally exclude? Who do we avoid engaging in conversation? What assumptions might Jesus be asking us to release? Imagine Jesus not at a well in Samaria, but at the edge of a pride parade. It's loud, it's colorful, it's sacred. And just beyond the crowd stands someone who's been pushed to the margins. Maybe they're holding a sign that says, "God loves me too." Maybe they've been kicked out of their church or even their home. Maybe they've been told they don't belong because of who they are or because of who they love. To many, they're seen not as beloved, but as broken. Not as a child of God, but as an issue, a label, a debate. But Jesus goes to them. Just like he went out of his way to pass through Samaria, a place others avoided, Jesus still shows up in the places tradition says he should not be. He sits beside the queer teen afraid to come out. He listens to the non-binary person navigating a hostile health system. He sees a trans woman fighting for her right to live in dignity. He knows their stories. He doesn't flinch when they name their wounds. And then he offers something no law, no theology can take away: dignity, belonging, living water. This is the Jesus we follow. Not one who polices identity, but one who celebrates it. Not one who upholds the walls religion builds, but one who breaks the walls down. Walls built by exclusionary theologies. Walls built by legislation that targets queer and trans lives. Walls built by silence in the face of suffering. And so the question is this: are we more like the disciples, surprised and uncomfortable when Jesus talks to the wrong people? Or are we ready to meet him at the well, to cross lines, to listen deeply, to love boldly? Sometimes it's easy to settle for tolerance instead of transformation. But Jesus never settles. He saw the woman at the well, and today he still sees the ones the church has too often turned away. So to those who feel like they don't belong for whatever reason, God sees you. God knows you. You are God's beloved. And to those who have experienced belonging, share that love. Be the well where others find grace. Amen.